And verse 36. Certain weeks are so hectic. You have so many things to do, and it, you know, just for the church and things, that you hardly get some time to just do a proper Bible study and get a word across. Hallelujah. Amen. There are so many messages sometimes that you have to prepare during the week. On a Friday or Sunday, sometimes, you know, you don't get enough time to prepare a word. Hallelujah. But what little that we have, God will kind of feed us with that. Amen. Amen. Luke chapter 7 and verses 36 to 39. Luke 7, 36 to 39.
Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, bought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. She kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner."
Praise the Lord. Amen. You will find this scripture, same story being mentioned in the Gospel of Mark chapter 14. And Matthew chapter 26. Jesus is going for dinner to the house of a Pharisee. In Matthew 26, the Bible calls this man's name as Simon. And the Bible says that he was a leper. So this guy is a Pharisee, a religious head. He's invited Jesus for dinner. It is his house. And he is a leper. Now in those times, you could never have dinner with a leper. Because if you are a leper and you're walking down the street, you walk at the opposite side of the street where nobody is there. And the minute you see somebody walk towards you, you say, "Unclean, unclean." And you walk away like this. Which means this man has met somewhere Jesus before, and the Lord had healed him of his leprosy so that he was no longer an untouchable, no longer an outcast, but he could actually invite his friends, his family, and even Jesus Christ to his house to have dinner. Amen. And there was this woman, the Bible calls her a sinful woman. She also heard that Jesus was in that house, and she comes to that same house and she falls at the feet of Jesus and she begins to worship him. Amen. Hallelujah. Later on that scripture you will understand why she worshiped, because Jesus said, "He who loves much will really, 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 really go to any level to offer their sacrifice before the Lord." Amen. Praise the Lord. See, we take that story and we look at it and we see it in the light of today, 2012, the month of August, 18th August. If Jesus was here, how many women inside a dinner party would have that kind of faith, that kind of love to forget the crowd, to forget everybody who's there, to forget everything that is there, and to come straight at the feet of Jesus Christ, fall at his feet? I don't think there would be anybody sitting here who would do that. You think you might, you wouldn't. She didn't mind what others thought. She didn't want to understand what others would say about her. It didn't matter to her what or who thought what. All that mattered to her was to come to Jesus Christ, was to come to Jesus Christ, was to come to Jesus Christ and offer her best before the Lord. That is what worship is all about. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There is a point in worship where you forget people. You forget the worship team. You forget the music. You forget your problem. You are no longer conscious of your own problem. You are not struggling with yourself. You are not battling within. You forget everything and everyone. And all that matters to you is Jesus and Jesus and Jesus and Jesus. That is the place of worship that God calls this church to. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible says that she came at night. We look at all the restrictions. Ella tadasangalum nokkum. Njan oru stree aanu. Njan oru paapini aanu. I've sinned too much. I'm a woman. It is night. I don't know what others will think or say about me. We look at all that. This woman didn't. That's what a worshiper is all about. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This guy Simon was a spectator. His heart had got so hardened. The Lord had healed him before. It didn't matter. Just imagine, the Lord had healed him of leprosy before. It didn't matter. There are so many in the church, in a religious church, who come to a point where they look at somebody who is really crying, really pouring the heart out, really breaking themselves at the feet of the Lord, and they say, must be a new believer. Their hearts have become so hardened. There are so many people who look and say, that poor girl must be going through something else, but here I am a spectator. I just come here to the church. We lost our sensitivity. We lost that softness of heart. God is looking for people who will cry at His feet, who will pour out their heart before Him, who will say, Jesus, You alone matter. Nothing else matter. My past doesn't matter. What I've done doesn't matter. What people think about me doesn't matter. Somehow I've got to come at Your feet. I've got to humble myself and fall at Your feet and worship You. She came at the feet of Jesus and she began to just cry. And she literally washed the feet of Jesus with her tears in front of all the crowd. Then she didn't get up and say, does anybody have a towel? I think I messed it up. No. She took her hair and she began to wipe that feet of Jesus with her hair. In 1 Corinthians 11, the Bible says, the glory of a woman is her hair. The glory of a woman is her hair. Let me ask you, how many women would actually come before Jesus? Actually, in front of a crowd, forget everything, fall at the feet of Jesus, cry, and then take your hair, your well-kept hair, the hair that you just took to your beauty parlor that you want to try to show off to your friends. How many of you would take your glory and actually fight the feet of Jesus Christ? Well, that's true worship. You don't want to be like Simon, whose heart is hardened, who doesn't feel a thing, who has been a forgetful of all the past mercies and goodness that the Lord has done in his life. You don't want to be a Simon. You want to be that woman who will fall at the feet of Jesus Christ. Lift your hand and say, I want to worship Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Women speak about equal rights. The feminist movement is there. 2012, we're bothered about how we look. We gotta look good and cute and nice. Sometimes you go to a meeting of born-again believers, it might be a function, it might be in a church, it might be somewhere outside. They have dressed up so well, they don't want to mess it up. They just want to look cute and worship. A nice clap. Just hallelujah. You don't want to lose your makeup. So. Hallelujah. Come on. That's not the kind of worshipers that the Lord is looking at. Praise the Lord. You're going to mess up your hair. You're going to mess up your clothes. Hallelujah. You're going to do anything. Hallelujah. To fall at the feet of Jesus Christ and to say, Lord, here I am. I am broken. I'm giving you my best. It doesn't matter what is around me, what people say about me, what people will think about me. Jesus, all that matters to you. Hallelujah. It's to me. It's for to worship you. Oh, let me see some worshipers in this place. Rise up to worship the Lord like that. Hallelujah. Worship is an expression of your love. Worship is not looking for excuses on why you can't love. I'm sinful. I'm bad. I'm terrible. I'm not like the others. Worship is all about broken people, sinful people, people who struggle with their own lives, people who haven't got their act all together well. People who are still trying to sort out their lives, who love Jesus Christ and who will express it from their heart. Worship is all about the expression of your heart from imperfect people to a perfect God, and His name is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. In Mark chapter 5, verse 25. We find there is a woman with an issue of blood for 12 years. You know the story, don't you? How many of you know the story of a woman with an issue of blood? You're so smart. In Leviticus 15th chapter and verse 19, it says, a woman with an issue of blood shall not come near somebody. She's also an outcast. This woman with an issue of blood for 12 years, she feels like a failure because she tried everything. She tried to get herself healed by going for every kind of prayer, every kind of doctor, every trick, Ayurveda, homeopathy, allopathy, whatever. I mean, she tried all the podis. Nothing is working. She spent everything. I don't know how she came to Jesus. Because the Bible says there was a crowd. But she came to Jesus. And we know the story. She came, must have crawled through the ground to actually touch the hem of His garment. She touched. And you know what happened? The Lord said, somebody touched me. And the closest people to Jesus is His apostles, disciples. They are touching Him actually. They said, no. We are the guys who are touching you. There are so much of a crowd here. Did you touch? Said, no. Somebody touched me. See, you come for a worship evening or a worship time. What happens to more people? Most people is that they look for a touch from God. This is not about the Lord touching. Definitely the Lord will touch. But this is about hearing it from the mouth of the Savior, Jesus Christ, that somebody's touched me. I felt this. That's worship. Worship is not just singing a few songs, clapping your hands for some time, and feeling, oh, I don't feel the presence of God. Too much of a crowd, too much of distractions, too much of people, too many things to do. I'm struggling also. Okay, I better get up and go back home. That's not worship. Too much crowd, too much people, too many limitations. She's a woman, she's got an issue of blood. The law is against her. So many things going against her. But she having this heart to say, I want to touch Jesus and I want to let Him know that I've touched Him. That's worship. There is a generation that is coming up, that is already here, who just wants to feel the touch of God. All they do, going in for a prayer meeting or going in for a worship night or going to a, you know, prayer meeting or whatever, or to a church, is just to feel the touch of God. I'm not asking you whether you feel the touch of God on your life. What I'm asking you is, in worship, are you willing to make Jesus say, somebody has touched me, and make him feel as if you are close to him. Oh, come on, church. Hallelujah. Amen. That's a touch with a difference. Are you with me? I said to the Lord today, I said, Lord, I don't want to just pray, just sing a few songs. I want to touch you. That's worship. I want to touch you. I don't just want to look good and cute and nice and clap a few songs and, you know, somehow ease my guilty conscience that I've done my ritual for the day or my prayer for the day and go back. No, Lord. It doesn't matter what it costs. If I have to crawl through the ground to get to you, I'm going to do that. If I'm going to pray through, I'm going to pray through. If I've got to fast, I'm going to fast. If I'm going to, you know, prepare myself well, I'm going to prepare myself well. But somehow I want to hear you say that you are pleased because I touched you. My touch made a difference. Oh, come on. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Lift your hand and say, Lord, I want to be a person who will touch you in worship. Amen. Do you break yourself to touch Jesus like that? The woman in Luke 7, she broke herself at the feet of Jesus. All pride went, you know. It doesn't matter who thinks what. Sometimes I look at a church congregation and say, even inside a church, sometimes people are kind of conscious. This is a born-again church. You have the freedom to worship the Lord any way that you want. But still people are so conscious. And I wonder what they would do outside. On the street, if you have to take a stand for Jesus, what would you do? Among your friends and family, what would you do if you are so conscious of yourself that you can't actually love him and express your love for him? When a child gets something from his father, he'll say, thank you, dad. Doesn't the father know he's grateful? Of course. But it's an expression when the child says, I love you, I thank you. God is looking for people who are expressive. Are you with me? Not people who are kind of monotonous and, you know, people who are kind of, you know, in their own shell, that they don't come out. They don't break themselves out. They don't, you know, you got to break yourself out. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory unto the name of Jesus Christ. This church, hallelujah. God, when God began to build this church, it began with we publicly testifying to Jesus Christ. We would stand in Ceylon Bakehouse in a restaurant in the night after dinner on a Friday, and we would glorify Jesus Christ. We would go into the beaches in Mangalore, and when the crowd was there, we would stand up and lift our hands and say, thank you, Jesus. We glorify you, Lord. This is a church that began in worship, by worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. We are an expressive church. We will express our love to the Lord. We will express him, hallelujah, all our glory and thanksgiving and gratitude. Lift your hands and glorify Jesus tonight. Amen. Amen. Now let me speak about the spiritual side. Now let me speak about the practical side of this worship. Praise and worship. What's the difference? Are you with me tonight? Open your mouth and say praise and worship. Praise. You praise the Lord for what he has done in your life. You praise him for what he has done in your life. But you necessarily don't need to have a relationship with him to do that. You praise the Lord for what he's done in your life, but you don't necessarily need to have a relationship with him to do that. For example, you watch a cricket match, India-Pakistan match. Suddenly we have this Waqar Yunus or Wasim Akram coming into bowl at one of our Indian batsmen. And this guy is coming and bowling fast, and the commentator is commenting on the bowling of Wasim Akram. And the commentator might be an Indian, but he will say, what a great ball from Wasim Akram. Look at the way he's running up. Look at this action. Look at that ball swinging into the batsman and taking that stumps. Does he have a relationship with Wasim Akram? Does he like Wasim Akram? No. He's a real Indian citizen. See, to praise somebody, you don't need to have a relationship or to know that person. Psalm 150 verse 6 says, let everything that has breath, I didn't hear you, let everything that has breath, everything that has breath, even whether it be a cat or a cow or a dog or a bird, it'll praise God. They don't have a relationship with Jesus. Everything that has breath. That is why in Isaiah 29 it says, these people praise me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. Now you can praise God without your heart being in it. Suddenly the preacher says, or the worship leader says, praise the Lord. And everyone says, praise the Lord. What if the praise and worship leader comes and says, go to hell? Suddenly you might also open your mouth and say, you go to hell. Now we repeat what others are saying, that's all. No relationship is needed for you to jump, to clap your hands and say, praise the Lord. But worship is different. Say, worship is different. It's birthed out of a relationship with the Lord Jesus. Worship can only come forth from a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. In praise and worship, especially in praise, there are two kinds of songs. I'm speaking about the practical side. Are you with me tonight? One is the vertical song, and the other is the horizontal song. In praise and worship, in praise, you have the vertical and the horizontal. For example, when we gather together for a meeting like this, and the worship leader comes and says, let's praise God, and you praise the Lord, and then they take a song. It's a song of praise. And a song of praise, you're saying, which song? Praising His name, we will sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, praising His name. Now, it's not a vertical song. Are you telling the Lord, praising His name? No, you're telling somebody else, praising His name, we will sing hallelujah. It's more like this. Are you with me? You're telling your neighbor, praising His name. It's a vertical thing. It's a horizontal thing. What other song? Nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing. Nothing is too difficult for thee that you're singing to the Lord. It's a praise song, but you sing to the Lord. Nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Let's lift it up to the Lord. You're telling the Lord, you're praising Him. Lord, there is nothing difficult for thee. But today there are so many people who enter into praise and worship by, you know, singing songs that is meant for each other. They're already in the spirit. But in worship, there is no horizontal. There is only vertical. Praise the Lord. In worship, there is nothing horizontal. There is only vertical. You are coming and saying from your heart, "You are my everything. You are my all." See, that's from our heart. It's going up to Jesus. There are also people who look at somebody else and say, "You are my everything. No, will you marry me?" We don't speak about that. See, in worship, it is only you, your heart expressing to Jesus. Are you with me? And there are two types of songs in worship. One is called, for you to understand, I'm speaking about the practical side. One is to understand, it's called the greeting card song. For example, you go to Archie's or somewhere to buy a greeting card. And suddenly you will find the poem of somebody saying how they express their love to their girlfriend. It's a greeting card. And then you just put your name on top. I mean, the person that you love's name on top. To Cynthia. Dearest Cynthia. My lovely, beautiful Cynthia. And then you know, the poem is in between, and then you say, "With all my love," and whatever. But it is not, it's a greeting card song. It is not, that poem is not yours. But you are saying it to the woman you worship. You say, this. The same way, you can come for a church meeting like this, and suddenly we say, "Okay, we're going to take Matt Redman's song. Or Chris Tomlin's song. Or a Hillsong song." That is them expressing their love to Jesus through a song. Are you with me? But it's not your song. But it is not your song. There might be good songs. There's nothing wrong with singing it. But it's not your song. In worship, we begin sometimes with maybe singing somebody else's worship song under the Lord. We take, in India, we take Father Berkman's song, or, you know, Kochujnu Madeshi Rapato, or K.V. Simon Sar Rapato, or somebody. I mean, you take, you know, English worshiper, you take from Hillsong or somebody, you sing that song. It's a greeting card song. You have somebody else's vocabulary in it, somebody else's song in it, somebody else's expression in it. But God is looking for a love letter song. Are you with me? It is not somebody else's song. It is your love to Jesus. Just imagine that woman coming to Jesus, falling at the feet and say, "Let me think. Let me take out a paper. Let me take out one song from somewhere and sing it." Would that be worship? That would be a nice song. That's for film actors. They study somebody else's dialogue. The scriptwriter gives them a dialogue and they say, "Main tujhse bahut pyar karta hai bhai." They're just mimicking it. Their heart is not in it. They get paid to do that. God is looking for love letter songs. Love letter songs of worship to Jesus. Well, sometimes you might start off with a greeting card song of somebody else's worship, but somewhere down the line of that worship, you should have your own expression coming out where you say, "The tune doesn't matter. The song, I mean, the words, I mean, it's your words. It's not somebody else's vocabulary, you know." You might say, "Oh, Shiam Radha Haski Anto, Jesus, Ahana Hezo, Nahayanto, Ribana Hede, Sia, Horiante, Lenebo, Sia, Karanadia. Thank you, my Lord. Yes, Lenebo, Senia." You're singing in your own words. That's worship. How many of you are learning something tonight? So I want songwriters to rise up in this congregation. That will be a greeting card gift to some other churches. The time is coming, God is saying to the worship team, when the songs that is sung here will be greeting card songs for other churches to worship the Lord. Hallelujah. But it will be an expression of our love to Jesus. It will be an original coming forth from our hearts to glorify the name of Jesus Christ. Worship team, lift your hands and receive that anointing and that grace and that quickening in the name of Jesus tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. My pain, my struggles cannot be expressed in somebody else's song. My fears, my aspirations, my love cannot be expressed in somebody else's song. That's what worship is all about. So we look at the spiritual side of it. It's an expression of the heart. Breaking every barriers to get to Jesus. And the practical side of it. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's close our eyes tonight and pray.